right through star-studded space, and the star-encircled solitudes where our galaxy, the Milky Way, meets the zodiac. There is a constant flow of creative energies. Science today is gradually discovering some of them. And it has a long way to go yet before it really knows something reliably about those energies which concern the mind in its origin and in its infinite variety of manifestations. This primordial action in eternity, which is the supreme meaning of karma, creative action, which is consequenceless, there begins a movement, as we understand movement. And this movement becomes manifest to us humans, or I should say is manifest to us humans, as that which is apprehended by the senses, by imagination, and in supreme measure in the state of ultimate communion. This comprises what we call the material world, the psychological and the mental, and the transcendental and spiritual. Galaxies, stars and suns and planets, and innumerable forces ranging over incalculable extents in every sense appear. We become aware of only some of these. But these are mighty forces, unknown, invisible to us, which are the origins of everything that comes within our ken and of all that which is infinitely more than what comes within our ken. These are the great cosmic forces, the cosmic energies. They are intelligent forces in the sense that they bring into being, maintain and sustain the whole cosmos, and then resolve that cosmos back into its primordial state of rest, pralaya, as we say in Sanskrit, the Sabbath referred to in Genesis. Now all this is comprised in the activity of Akasha and prana. They are the father and mother whom we are asked to honor in the Mosaic Commandments. Honor thy father and thy mother, in order that thy days in the land, which is your own psychophysical organism, may be long. And it goes on to say, the land which the Lord thy God has given thee. The Lord thy God, Elohim Yahweh, stands for Akasha and Prana in timeless conjugation, perpetually creating, maintaining, sustaining, and reabsorbing into itself. Throughout the universe flow these cosmic energies. And it is those cosmic energies which precipitate what we call the material visible world. They precipitate the various kingdoms of nature, including us. These forces are represented in the system which is the science of the zodiac, commonly called astrology. Aster, asteris, is a star, and logi comes from logos, the word. The word about the stars. Do not make the mistake of confining the meaning of the word star just to the planets or the different constellations that we see with our eyes. Because what we see with our eyes, what little, what infinitesimally little that we know, is just a fraction of the totality of energies which is at work. Primarily, these energies work in terms which we can only call, at least I can only call, states of consciousness. Because it is the state of consciousness of your own ultimate awareness which is the final source of reference and the final and the original determining power which brings about your circumstance. Part of it is given to each one of us by virtue of inheritance. And the other aspect consists in what we do with it. That is, not according to our will, but what is done through our awareness of that course of action for us individually, which will spell harmony with the cosmos. And the science of the zodiac deals with that. Fundamentally, states of consciousness. Its secondary interpretation is psychological. Our states of mind, our feelings, our potentialities, all that constitutes our psycho-spiritual and psycho-physical potential, and all those which seem to be obstructions in our way, but which really are the challenges that call forth out of us our utmost, our best, in order to fulfill the cosmic purpose. Each one of us is the center, the focus point, I mean, through which the cosmic energies play in a certain way. And it plays in ways which are different for each and every one of us, because we are unique individuals. And the great marvel of the universe is its infinite variety. So these energies play through us in our particular way. If we understand something of the basic characteristics which are associated with different parts and with different configurations of the zodiac, if we understand that and meditate upon that, we can obtain some sort of glimpse of what life wants to bring through into manifestation through us. Now bear in mind that life in its activity, the total becoming process, has the play of the duals constantly present. One aspect broadly will consist of that which constructs, which builds up, which brings to fruition, and so forth, and another aspect which breaks down, dissolves away, reabsorbs and returns to the primordial, in the Greek sense, chaos. In the beginning, which wasn't a beginning in time, when there was no activity as such, no movement as such. Through some, the manifestation of things which seem to us terrible, overwhelming, takes place. That is our destiny. Through others, what we commonly call happiness, success, fruition takes place. That too is our destiny. If we are truly religious, we will not attempt to choose. We will try to understand what the cosmic life in its immensity wants to bring through each of us. Understand this, and our petty little criteria of good, bad, desirable, undesirable, excellent, horrible, will all disappear. There comes the point when holiness has come to flower in your own heart, then you do not choose anymore. Tears of sorrow may be squeezed out of your eyes, but your inner mind is at rest in peace. Your heart is really in bliss. Not the bliss which somebody else says is yours, but you yourself will know it. And in that lies your stability and your fulfillment. So do realize that this science of the zodiac is something tremendous, something which is practically unknown nowadays all over the world. People dabble with it. This is a profound error. There are ways of understanding. And the way of understanding these cosmic forces is to learn to let the mind be perfectly still and empty. And then, if you let the mind dwell upon the basic characteristics of the different signs of the zodiac, which sometimes do not correspond with the astronomical constellations as such, and of the planets of our particular system, you will receive some sort of enlightenment as regards the very great question: why am I this particular sort of person here in this world? Every flower on a tree, every leaf on it, every single cell in it has its function, its purpose. And without it, that tree is not that tree. So many people suffer in life. They have abilities, they have been trained, and they feel the years are passing and I am useless. What is the use of my living? And they suffer very, very deeply on that account. A deep spiritual, intellectual distress. But if you realize that I, a mere grain of sand on the seashore, just a speck of dust floating in space, occasionally lit up by a ray of light as it shines through the window, is there by virtue of the entire cosmos at work. And in that sense, the entire cosmos cares for you and loves you. And if you and I do not grumble, are not ungrateful to the graciousness of this transcendent reality, then we shall never be troubled with anxiety or concern as to why am I here. The parents of so many of the great ones, the holy ones, the great artists, the great creative geniuses, they who just went through the daily grind, sometimes in dreadful poverty, difficulty, under stress, under strain, war and destruction around them and so forth, did they ever dream that their child would be like a star in the firmament shining on earth to help mankind and relieve his distress, alleviate his suffering, and lift up his soul sometimes to the very stars themselves with the beauty and the marvel that they produced in the world by their lives and their creative genius? Did those parents know that? And yet they must have often grumbled, why on earth are we born going through this day after day and so forth? Supposing you were the parent of such a one, you never know. So be content trust the omnipotence, the omniscience, and the omnipresence of the eternally real. Now, for our meditation today, I suggest that we just look at some of the basic characteristics of the different signs of the zodiac. I believe all of you know your birthday. Anybody forgotten? Not very likely. Now, if your birthday happens to be just around the 20th, 21st, 22nd of the month, just let me know, so that tell me as I say these things, and then you will know precisely whether the sun, which is the Lord of our solar system, was in this sign or that sign. But if it is not anywhere there, but in the course of the month, roughly from the 21st of each month to the 21st of the other month, then you will know which your sign is. First of all, we have Aries, the ram, from the 21st of March to the 21st of April. Any borderlines? All right. And Aries stands for the beginning of the creative cycle. It stands for force, power, creation. It also stands for recreation and resurrection. Now, all of you who are Aresians, bear that in mind. Force, creation, recreation, and resurrection. Next sign, Taurus, the bull, stands for manifestation, consolidation, security, gravitation. Gravitation in the sense of bringing matter together so that it remains stable through long periods of time in order to allow of growth and development and so forth. That's Taurus. 21st of April to about the 21st of May. Oh, that's Taurus all right still. 17 is all right, yes. It's only 20, 21, 22 which you have to think of. So, security and gravitation, materialization. Force by itself is just force. Its activity brings about materialization. Hence, a certain degree of security and gravitation. Gemini, the twins, stands for movement and intelligence. That will be 21st May till about the 22nd June, sometimes almost the 23rd. But 22nd June. You are 23rd. Well, you're on the borderline between Gemini, the real borderline between Gemini and Cancer. So you listen to both Gemini and Cancer and bear it in mind. Movement intelligence characterizing Gemini. And then Cancer, the next sign, characterized by organic life and consciousness. A word about the movement which characterizes Gemini. Physically, of course, it means movement, travel, going from here to there, and so forth. It means also movement of the mind, particularly of the intellect. Geminians can be very brilliant intellectuals, very cold, I'm going to use the word cold, coldly intellectual. They don't make any mistakes with their logic and so forth. They make very good mathematicians, engineers, and that sort of thing. Aries also makes a good engineer. But if he has Gemini in addition, all his calculations and everything will be correct. There won't be any collapsed bridges. And intelligence. The intelligence which sees into the nature of manifestation, techniques, processes, and so forth. Not that other type of intelligence which sees in terms of wisdom and insight in the religious sense. Gemini is brilliantly analytical. Cancer, organic life and consciousness. As you know, out of the sea arose life. And the sign of Cancer, 22nd or 3rd of June sometimes, but usually 22nd of June till the same day in July, life begins in this water sign. It's a water sign, as we call it. And consciousness stirs with life. Consciousness begins to come into play for the first time in our sense of the word consciousness. There are those, philosophies in India, for instance, which state without reservation that there is not even a single atom in existence without consciousness. It's rather difficult to explore that realm. But the moment you get life, then you get mind and consciousness associated with it. The very primitive cellular organisms show the power of choice. And any living cell displays the capacity to learn, which is perhaps the fundamental criterion of mind. The capacity to learn. And when that goes far enough, it displays the capacity to make a choice, a knowing choice. I mean, primitive organisms like the Coelenterata, they display this choice. And that choice first gets displayed in terms of delaying a response to an external stimulus. When the response gets delayed, that delay is due to the fact that an internal process, I will, I won't, shall I not, is going on. So consciousness begins there. Then comes Leo, the lion. July 22nd to August 22nd, or almost 3rd. Leo, the lion. 21st of August. You're Leo, all right. Now, this is a very important sign. It is the sign of man, individuality. Man comes upon the scene. and the great question posed before him, the question of the Sphinx. Well now, you are a man in whom is incarnate divinity. This is the important point. Remember Genesis, man made in the image of God. Remember in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, the origin of the Purusha and the meaning of the Purusha. The individual manifestation of the incarnation of divinity. And on man falls the responsibility to bring that divinity to flower, to become the perfected Holy One. And he is free to choose his path. And this freedom is expressed, as far as I know, in its finest and completest form in the Zarathustrian Gathas, the scriptures. It is presented as the twin aspects of the mind. That aspect of mind which breaks down, which destroys, which does not uphold the truth, which does not uphold, as the Rig Veda would put it, Ritta, the eternal order of the cosmos. That is the evil mind, as it is called. And then that is the Akem Mano, and its counterpart is the Vohu Mano. Vohu means good. The constructive, the bringing to fruition, that which puts you into harmony with the flow of the cosmic energies and life. So in Leo, there is individuality, there is incarnation. Then in Virgo, the sign of the Virgin, there is specialization and discrimination, the arts and crafts, ordering things, utilizing them in the right way, skill, technique, the living of the good life in the simple moralistic, dualistic sense of virtue as against vice. All that comes under Virgo and Virgo's discriminativeness. Virgo is August 22nd to September 23rd, practically. There is just, sometimes it is September 22nd when the sun goes into Libra, sometimes September 23rd when it goes into Libra. You see? Specialization and discrimination in that sense. And Virgo is particularly important because here comes the parting of the ways where man has to make his own choice. Will he follow the path of the goddess Athene, or will he follow the path of the sorceress Circe? And you know the Greek myth about Circe. She lured all sailors. Sailors means all of us. We are sailing through life. She's the one who lures all sailors onto her island. They fall for her beauty, her ravishing beauty. She gives them a draught which bereft them of their senses. And she touches them with her wand and they are converted into swine for their evil doing. They are the ones who give way in terms of self-indulgence of each and every sort. the indulgence of the senses, the indulgence of their energies, their powers, their gifts, their abilities, the misuse of all these for their own selfish purposes in order to, as they call it, enjoy life. So Circe gives them a little bit of enjoyment, and afterwards they are just pigs. That's an insult to the pigs, but still. So that's the path of Circe. Now these people who follow the path of Circe are also the people who try to circumvent the ill effects of their wrongdoing by all sorts of palliatives, drugs, by magic cures, and all the rest of the claptrap. But they cannot escape their evil karma for a very simple reason. The karmic energies are not there outside oneself or in somebody else's hands. Somebody else who will dole out reward and punishment to me or to you. All the karmic forces are within this fathom-long body. They are embodied there. They affect the brain, the nervous system, and all the cells of the body. And if you want to escape that, then go and consult the undertaker at once. The other path is the path of Athene, the path of virtue, from which no man, if he has any sense at all, would try to escape. Let there be no mistake about it, absolutely unequivocally. The only life that man, if he's sensible at all, should lead is the virtuous life. So that's Virgo. Virgo gives usually very great skill with your hands, your fingers, your doing of things. You can be very methodical, tidy, orderly, clever. All that comes under Virgo. And it's ruled by the planet Mercury, Hermes. And you remember, Mercury is a little bit of a rogue. He's a rascal. He plays about and steals things belonging to Apollo. And so forth. So be careful. The next sign is Libra. 22nd or 3rd of September, 22nd often, till the 22nd of October. 21st of, yes, 22nd of October. Libra. Libra is the sign par excellence of romantic love. He's a fortunate man, and she's a fortunate woman whose upbringing and education has been so good that that person is free of romantic love in the way in which romantic love is manifest in the millions of the world. Because we have such misconceptions of romance. This romance is expressed in its perfection. Most of you have heard me say this, by Shakespeare in Miranda and Ferdinand. You read that carefully, and you will see what pure romance means. And that romance leads to fruition. The other romance, the ordinary worldly romance, howsoever successful, if you get stuck in it, you're going to have awful trouble afterwards. You will fossilize. and it will bring disillusionment and disappointment in the long run. It will hold back the deeper, the profounder aspects of Libra, which elevate Libra to one of the most wonderful signs of the whole zodiac. Because Libra stands for equilibrium, for equanimity, perfect equanimity, perfect poise, upekkha, the peak point of love, as the Buddha pointed out. Very strange. This equilibrium, this equanimity is the peak point of love. Now relate romantic love to this equanimity. This romance is the eternal romance, the divine romance, psyche within each and every one of us, seeking and at last finding a supreme fulfillment and bliss in everlasting union with Eros, the creative energy of the universe. Libra can do that par excellence, as no other sign can. And the Libran who does that, who has the vision and who has the gift and the ability, will be a benediction to his whole environment. So Libra, the sign of Libra stands for that. Equilibrium, love, stands for culture, for great refinement. The utmost refinement is manifested by Libra. Remember also that each of these signs can manifest its opposite too. Because all this is comprised within the sphere of the becoming process, duality. If your step is a mistaken step, well, you fall downstairs. And that's that. Hurts. It stands for the ideal of happiness. This is where the difficulty comes. Libra very often mistakes happiness for a very highly refined cultural pleasure. He mistakes that. The pleasures of the senses, the subtle pleasures, music, nature, beauty, the lovely things that move your heart, and you say, ah, this is happiness, this is happiness. And the Libran forgets that if he's entranced with these things, he is bound, he is caught in a trap. So that's Libra up to the 22nd of October, and then comes Scorpio. October to 21st of November. Now we come back to 21st of November. Scorpio is the most dynamic sign of the horoscope, of the zodiac. It stands for power. It stands for power which will not allow stagnation. Libra's tendency, if he realizes just the Libran qualities, is to say, ah, now this is all very lovely, the garden is full of beauty and the house is full of the joys of wife and child and prosperity and so forth. Now we'll stay put. Scorpio says, oh no, I've finished with you. That's enough. The cosmic power has manifested all this. Now come on, you've got to go ahead. No nonsense, no stopping there. You will find this put very charmingly by the Buddha, when he talks about his disciples going through the different jhanas and samapattis, and how he exhorts the disciple, well done, that's very good, but don't stop there. There is something more for you to do. Now, come on. And so he just takes them on and on and on. No stopping. So this power comes as a power of disruption for anyone who has the tendency to stagnate. Now the power that the agent that tries to persuade us to stagnate is the psyche. The female wants the nest to remain a permanent nest. The human female. Sometimes she doesn't, but oftentimes she does. When she doesn't, the reason probably is that she wants a slightly better nest, meaning that meaning not that the nest is so much better, but that she would like it. Suits her. So this disruptive aspect. Now, do bear in mind, this relates to, ties up with, very deeply and intimately, with this Adam and Eve story, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The terms good and evil are hopeless mistranslations of the original Hebrew, Tov and Ra. The Hebrew word Tov is translated as good, but Tov stands for that which has been established and which is pleasant and the accepted way of doing things, and it's all very nice, we are getting on. What on earth do you want to change it for? Just stay put and do what you're told. But Ra, the life energy, says, no, I have manifested this, I'm going on, and sweeps it all out. So Ra is the power that will not have stagnation. And it blows the whole thing up. But it is this which is the salvation of man. Because otherwise, man would just stick where he is, just as the other species have only their limited scope, their limited sphere out of which they can never get out. The ants and the bees, what is it, 600 million years or 300 million years, they are just the same jolly old ants and bees as they were. No change, no progress, no development. But man belongs to the central trunk of the tree of life. And this tree of life where man is concerned has no ending. It goes right up to the heavens. And where are the heavens? They are everlastingly up there. They are everlastingly up howsoever high you move, you grow. You see? So Scorpio is really that great dynamic power which brings about ultimate salvation, which moves you on towards true salvation by preventing you from stagnating. So it brings trouble. Now, this power manifests principally in terms of the activity of the polarities. Male, female, positive, negative. Often it is put down as sex. I've got the word sex here, and some years back at the Buddhist summer school, people got rather upset. You see?
Well, they all define incarnations then.
They forgot their divine incarnation altogether for the moment. Anyhow. They felt frightened. No, this thing, sex, in terms of the sign of Scorpio, where are we? 21st of November, 21st of October till the 21st of November, this sex refers to the primordial division of the positive and negative poles of creative energy and their everlasting interaction. See, this is the very origin of all sex as such. It manifests right through the becoming process. You will find in all the pantheons of the great religions the presentation of the male and the female, and the male divinities and their female counterparts. The female counterpart is the real potency. The male is the conceiving power. And the female is the active power. It is Shakti. You see, the yogi rouses Shakti, which is latent at the base of the spine, takes it right up to Shiva, who is in perpetual meditation. But perpetual meditation by itself doesn't produce a cosmos. Shakti and Shiva have to unite in order that there may be a cosmos, a harmonious cosmos. You see, that same idea is embodied in Jesus as the incarnation of God. Yahweh, Yod, He, Vav, He, is enfleshed, is embodied in Yashveh, Jesus. That's the Hebrew. Yod, He, Shein, Vav, He. And the Shein is the activity of cosmic power which unites the Yod, He with the Vav, He of what we commonly call Jehovah, Yahweh. And thereby produces the manifestation, the perfect, absolute incarnation of divinity. This is the meaning of the names. See, and Scorpio plays its part in bringing this about ultimately. Now notice, after Scorpio, we have Sagittarius, November 21st to December 21st, which stands for revelation, for the ideal of truth and right. Scorpio is represented symbolically by the sun shining in the unclouded heavens. That is, Sagittarius is represented by, Sagittarius is represented by the sun shining in the unclouded heavens. Revelation, ideal of truth and right. Revelation. Now this does not mean that something, somebody, some power, some being reveals something to you, the other person. When you have come through all that is represented by Scorpio and worked through it, then the purified mind, transparent to the light, and that is the meaning of the sun shining in the unclouded heavens, transparent to the light, is in the condition of revelation. The word revelation really means that you yourself are in that condition where revelation goes on. And then you present that revelation. It is not revealed to you by another. This is a deep subject. We can talk about it some other time if you like. And in that condition of revelation, we can have the true ideal of right and truth. Because otherwise we just spin out a doctrine, a dogma, according to our conditioning, according to what we would like the thing to be. Then, from the 21st of December to the 21st of January, we have Capricorn, the sign of the goat. Immense energy the goat has. And the sign of Capricorn stands for final manifestation, the perfected manifestation. It's ruled by Saturn. Saturn, who is time the reaper. all that went before ultimately culminates in the ultimate manifestation, after which there has to be the breaking up, the dissolution of the manifested. You see? So, in that ultimate manifestation, materially, finally, you have organization. Capricorn stands for organization, for authority, and for capital resources. You may say, oh, I am born under Capricorn, but I have no capital at all. I've got only sixpence in the bank or in my pocket. The bank won't take sixpence these days. But you watch. You look carefully. You will find that you're always involved with organization, and often organization on the big scale. Organization which deals with capital, which carries with it authoritative positions. You are given authoritative positions, positions of responsibility, and so forth. It just comes to Capricorn. Whatever the sphere of life may be, doesn't mean we can all become kings and queens as in the fairy tales. But you see, Capricorn is like that. Organization, authority, capital. Now when all of you think of these things in relation to yourself, those of you who are Capricornians, relate this to the spiritual aspect of your own life. That is to say, see the relationship between your actual work, your actual organizing work, your actual wielding of authority, your actual utilization of capital in relation to its spiritual counterpart, its spiritual significance. That's what you have to do. These are difficult things, of course, but then the science of the zodiac is a profound science. Don't go to astrologers, or the ordinary Tom, Dick and Harry, Brighton and the sea beach type, you know, not that sort of thing. You will find 1, 2, 3 real astrologers the world over. And in any case, I believe there's no one who'll tell you all this, which I said in my preface. I beg your pardon?
I was born supposedly 5 minutes into Capricorn, 5 minutes after midnight on the 22nd.
Of?
It could have been wrong.
Of December.
Yeah. Could have been wrong.
Well, you're right on the sort of borderline. You see, the sun having a largish disk, just a bit of it is in one sign and just a bit of it in the other sign. Take about an hour or so to be definitely one way or the other. So you are a Sagittarius Capricorn mixture. You have both of them equally. Then comes Aquarius. Aquarius stands for cooperation and for civilization. Everything on the big scale. And it's a very interesting fact that our century has seen the entry of the life of the earth as a whole because of the precession of the equinoxes into the sign of Aquarius. And we say that the Aquarian age has begun. It has begun in this century. It will last about 22 centuries. See, the complete precession takes 26,000 years altogether. And we have entered into the Aquarian age, definitely entered now. And it stands for everything on the large scale. Now, isn't it curious? Look at buildings, for instance. Look at organizations, all these, all the little ones get amalgamated into a vast thing. And you might say, but look how awful it all is. Of course it is. Why? Because I am still in the awful stage. And therefore I cannot utilize the marvelous potency of Aquarius in the right way. As long as there is self-centeredness, as long as there is no understanding that oneself is in complete and total relationship with the cosmos around us, and therefore one behaves accordingly, until that happens, we will always go wrong. And it stands for civilization. And the interesting part of the story in our own day and age is that we see the very opposite of civilization becoming more and more evident everywhere, all over the world. Violence, cruelty, oppression, the loss of standards, and everything is happening now. A breaking down of the whole thing. And yet, if you and I can allow the cosmic forces to function through us in the right way, it will set going into the psycho-spiritual atmosphere of the world powers which in our grandchildren or maybe the 10th generation from us will show itself for good. Finally, there is Pisces. February, March, 21st February to the 20th. Once in 4 years, the sun enters Aries on the 20th of March. Usually once in 4 years. But the other 3 years, it enters Aries on the 21st of March. And Pisces stands for commingling. After cooperation and civilization and everything having come to its full maturity, then comes the commingling, the dissolution. It also stands for the love that unites all manifest life. That's what Pisces stands for. The love that unites all manifest life. It stands for death, which is the portal to recreation, to the resurrection. That's what Pisces stands for. So now, have you got the special points which belong to your signs? June 22nd. Well, you're right on the cusp of Gemini Cancer. Right on the cusp.
December 22nd.
You're right on the cusp of Sagittarius Capricorn. The archer and the goat. You see? And you remember Sagittarius revelation, the ideal of truth and right, Capricorn organization, authority, capital. All right. Now, I'm sorry this has taken so long already. Now look, when you meditate upon these characteristics which belong to the sign under which you were born, the sign of the sun alone, there are all the other planets to take into account, but the sun is the most important and the most powerful. When you meditate on them, try not to confine yourself to the dictionary meanings of these words. See all these things as great energies, as powerful energies at work. See not yourself as being what that energy stands for, but the vehicle, the receptive apparatus through which the cosmic energy will work through. This is the way to look at it. You are the instrument of the divine. You see immediately the implication, the greatest implication. One has to be pure. And one has to be mindful. If the purity and the mindfulness are there together, then in that calm, balanced state, if you just let the mind dwell upon the word as it is, without defining the word, just be quiet and calm, and those energies will manifest. You won't see it. You won't know how. They will manifest. They will work through and affect you and the environment for good. This was a very ancient science. It is still known in some parts of the world, but very, very few know about it or how to utilize it. But it is something which should come to counter this madness that has seized the world with regard to the stars. You know what I'm talking about. All the miserable mass media with their rubbish, predicting things, promising you this, holding carrots. They treat us like donkeys. And they themselves are only silly asses after all. So now, this is something very important and very profound.
If one also knows one's ascendant sign, should one consider that also?
Oh yes, if you know your horoscope, consider all the signs. But start with one. You see, start with one. The sign of the sun, the moon, your ruling planet, and the ascendant, the zenith. They are extremely important and powerful.